From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, August 17th, 2017. And on this day, controversy over Governor Paul LePage's response to President Trump's call to stop tearing down Confederate monuments. And the growth in summer meal programs in Maine and why organizers say they need to expand much more. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Maine Governor Paul LePage is supporting President Trump's call to stop the removal of Confederate monuments in the wake of last weekend's violent protests in Charlottesville, Virginia. If you haven't heard, LePage's comments issued today on a Portland radio station are stirring some controversy. Mal Leary has more.
In his weekly appearance on WGAN, LePage was asked about the events at Charlottesville and about President Trump's assertion that all sides were to blame for the violence. LePage said he agrees with Trump on that issue and also sides with the president in opposing the removal of Confederate monuments and statues as symbols of racism and white supremacy.
This is what our history is. And it's just, to me, it's just like going to New York City right now and taking down the monument of those who perished in 9/11. That, it will come to that.
And again, echoing Trump, LePage said while the statue under scrutiny in Charlottesville is of Confederate General Robert E. Lee, other historical figures could be next.
That's today. Next week, George Washington's gone.
And LePage went on to liken efforts to remove Confederate statues to the actions Islamic terrorists have taken against historic sites in the Middle East.
I remember seeing this gruesome sites when Iraq fell apart and they were taking down all the statues, and the Taliban did the same thing in Afghanistan. I think we're better than that.
The responses from Trump and LePage are disturbing to Elizabeth Helitzer, the executive director of the Maine Holocaust and Human Rights Center.
The issue right now is that we're at a place of violence. We're at a place where people feel like violent protest is the answer to the problems, and that's a dangerous place to be.
Helitzer says it is troubling that the language being used by political leaders today is similar to that which has led to violence and genocide in the past. She says the center uses a teaching tool called the Pyramid of Hate to explain how escalating rhetoric can have horrifying consequences. Helitzer says on the first steps of the pyramid are name-calling and belittling jokes, which may seem innocuous, but are very divisive.
The next steps are discrimination, then violence, and ultimately genocide.
Since the violence over the weekend, elected political leaders of both parties have spoken out to denounce the violence. Maine Public sought comment from LePage on the issue on Monday, but got no response. LePage says he was slow to comment because he was at his Boothe Bay home over the weekend and does not watch TV news or read newspapers. In his radio appearance, he reiterated his long-standing condemnation of the Ku Klux Klan, but also said blame for the violence must be shared by all the groups that gathered in Virginia. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
It didn't take long for Governor LePage's remarks about Charlottesville to hit the national media outlets and become a trending topic on Twitter. And his decision to say that tearing down Confederate monuments is akin to the removal of the 9/11 memorial in New York drew swift and withering criticism. But Steve Missler reports the governor's decision to break his relative silence on Charlottesville and forcefully align with President Trump may have been a political calculation.
LePage's comments to Portland radio station WGAN Thursday came after he initially remained relatively silent about Charlottesville. On Monday, he was among a minority of governors who had said nothing about the violence, and his office never responded to a request for a statement. But after relatively tepid remarks to Bangor radio station WVOM on Tuesday, the governor spent more than half of a 17-minute interview talking about Charlottesville and the protesters who clashed in the streets.
That is disgusting. There's no place for either of those groups in this country.
With that remark, the governor quickly aligned himself with Trump. The president has been drawing a moral equivalency between the white supremacist demonstrators and the counter-protesters. And LePage's remarks follow the president's tripling down on his initial response to the violence, that both sides were to blame. LePage, as he often does, pushed the limits of the argument, saying the counter-protesters want to tear down Confederate monuments.
What they're standing for is equally as bad. They're trying to erase history. How can future generations learn if we're going to erase history? That's disgusting.
Some might say the governor's appreciation for historical record is selective. It was LePage, after all, who ordered the removal of a mural 6 years ago at the State Labor Department that depicted the history of the Maine labor movement. But LePage did finally jump into the discussion of Confederate monuments shortly after a series of tweets from the president Thursday morning. Sad to see the history and culture of our great country being ripped apart with the removal of our beautiful statues and monuments, Trump tweeted. The subject has sparked intense debate in southern and mid-Atlantic states and was a key flashpoint in Charlottesville. And unlike the president's initial comments about the violence in Charlottesville, his pivot toward the protection of Confederate monuments appears to be popular. A new survey from NPR, PBS NewsHour, and Marist found that 62% of Americans think memorials to Confederate leaders should remain, and support among Democrats is only a bit lower. But it includes people like Andy Harkins. Harkins grabs one of the newspapers at Simonis' hot dog stand in Lewiston. News of the governor's comments hasn't reached here, but the newspaper features another story about the fallout from the president's comments about Charlottesville.
Well, I think it's there's too much hate in the world, all over. So, it's sad, really.
Harkins is a Democrat. He didn't vote for President Trump, and he doesn't much care for his policies. But he sides with the president on the violence in Charlottesville and on the protection of Confederate monuments.
But in my opinion, it's unfortunate the way things were back then during the Civil War and stuff with slavery, but it was still part of history.
Down the counter, Larry Pooley, a Trump supporter, says he too agrees with the president's response in Charlottesville. Pooley lives across the Androscoggin River in Auburn. He doesn't support the white nationalists who marched on Charlottesville, but he says all of the demonstrators seem to be looking for trouble.
Both parties should do it in a respectful manner, but they're not. And, you know, it's hard to say because people are bashing in windows that are protesting against, you know, the racists. And both sides are not, you know, doing anything right to help the cause.
Pooley says the president was trying not to pick sides, but Mary Haru has. She talks about Heather Heyer, the woman who was killed in Charlottesville when a white supremacist allegedly plowed into a crowd of counter-protesters. Haru says she didn't vote for Trump, and her opinion of him is worse than it was in November.
He's an embarrassment. Like, I respect the office of president, but I don't respect him at all.
Haru didn't say how she felt about LePage. She hadn't heard his comments yet, but while she and others are disgusted by Trump's handling of Charlottesville, there are others who appear willing to give him a pass, and they just may offer the same to LePage as well. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
You're listening to Maine Things Considered on Maine Public Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. Nearly half of all kids in Maine qualify for free and reduced-price lunch at school, and during the summer months when school is out, there have not been a lot of options for those families. That's now starting to change. In the past 10 years, the number of summer meal sites in the state has more than tripled. But as Robbie Feinberg reports, reaching students in rural Maine is still a major challenge.
In a small pavilion outside of Gray New Gloucester High School, Rondalyn LaMarca slices and scoops pizza to a long line of hungry students. This meal site, like many in Maine, emerged within the past decade. And LaMarca says while it's heavily used now, it was a struggle to get people to come in at first.
There used to be a stigma of, you have to get a free lunch and you can't. That is completely reversed. Now it's like, oh, you're going to get the lunch program. Oh, you're doing the lunch program. I want to go. I want to do that. I want to get together with my community.
Part of the reason for this change has been the transformation of many of these areas from simple meal sites to community gatherings. Local parent Mercedes Mendez-Swanson says her six kids come here for meals, but also run around for an hour and even help out in a local garden.
To make friends with everybody who's coming along at different parts of the summertime.
In the past decade, the number of summer meals served in Maine has more than doubled, earning the state a ranking of fifth most in the country. Clarissa Hayes with the Food Research and Action Center says organizations like the Maine Hunger Initiative have advocated for these kinds of summer meal programs. And she points to a 2015 Maine law that requires high poverty schools with summer programming to provide summer meals to kids, too. Hayes says that while nationwide participation in summer nutrition programs has actually decreased recently, the number of sites in Maine has tripled since 2006.
They are really on the forefront of the summer nutrition programs, and we look to them, especially in the Northeast, as an example.
I guess I'm a little surprised about that.
Erin Calloway is the director of Piscataquis County Healthy Food for All.
We've done really well, but there's still so much to do. A lot. I mean, we've done really well, but there's way, way more kids that could be benefiting from this.
Here in economically challenged Piscataquis County, 60% of students qualify for free and reduced price lunch. And in just the past 5 or 6 years, nearly a dozen meal sites have opened. Calloway says this is a big deal for an area where transportation is a barrier.
You can just see driving down this road and look around you. We're very rural. It's not like we have a bus or anything that people can hop on to get to locations.
In the low-income Derby neighborhood of Milo, for example, the closest meal site was about 2 miles away.
These kids are mostly under age of, I don't know, like 11, 12 years old. It's kind of a long way for a kid that age to bike into town on their own to get something to eat, and if they have a bike.
So this year, Calloway worked with Milo's town manager to get summer meals to kids in this neighborhood. It hasn't been easy, and some days only a few kids show up. But Milo town manager Damian Bickel says it's been important for this area, and it's about more than just addressing hunger.
The whole idea is to say that, yes, we live in Derby, but we are a strong community, and this is what's going to help bring it together.
Even with these efforts, a lot of work is still left to be done to reach more kids in Maine. Only about a quarter of eligible students in the state receive meals during the summer. As she transports another shipment of lunches, Erin Calloway says she's eyeing new ideas to reach those students, like a mobile meal service delivering food door-to-door.
A kid living out on this road isn't going to walk to any site. So if we can do a mobile truck and deliver meals, I think we could reach a lot more kids.
Adrienne Aykroyd, the summer program coordinator at the Maine Department of Education, says she's encouraged by the use of similar models in cities such as Augusta. And she sees them as crucial to getting more meals in the hands of more kids in the future. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Education reporting on Maine Public Radio is supported by a grant from the Nellie Mae Education Foundation. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, August 17th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.